This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Damn it.
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shafty. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Down to 28 seconds. Coffee brings it middle. Waters his defender. Coffee spins left. Hands off Powell. Chased by Payton. Payton picked his pocket. Here comes Curry the other way. Curry stops. Dribbles right. Fades. Comes in. Throws out to Waters to Draymond. Draymond back over to Curry. Curry right sideline. Three. No. Ball tipped. It's out of bounds. No. Saved by Draymond. Deflected. Wiggins gets it to Draymond. To Curry. Steps over. Finds Payton. Top of the key. No. At the buzzer, and the Clippers hang on for the win.
Oh, did I get fooled on that?
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Good morning to everybody out there getting out their graveyard shift. What a, I'm not going to say a dandy yesterday. A lot of turnovers in that game down at the Intuit Dome, the Warriors' first visit at the Intuit Dome. You see that big old board and the wall there on one side of the floor, and the Warriors had to shoot free throws there in the first half. Second half, they were going the opposite direction. But they lose a tough one there. Nice open shot by Gary Payton II. Steph made the right basketball play, passing out of a triple team, basically. Looked like the Clippers were tripling him, making sure he didn't get the three-point shot off. Now, what I didn't really realize until late last night is that I believe the Warriors did have a timeout, and Steve Kerr was trying to get the timeout, but the referees were all the way down on the other side of the court, so they didn't hear Steve. Anyway, it would have been nice to set up a play, but you know what? When you don't make your free throws, when you turn the ball over 13 times in the first half, and you allow the Clippers to dictate pace, that is what happens. And the Warriors score a season-low 99 points. A season-low 99 points. A season-low on bench points, 28 points. And so far, they're 0-2 against the LA Clippers. But I'm burying the lead. Shasky's back, folks. Shasky's back. Shasky's back. Shasky's back.
I don't think I needed that kind of fanfare. It's good to see you, buddy. Yeah, I thought they were going to pull a rabbit out of the hat late last night. I really did. I was holding on to that silver lining, and yeah. What is it about the Clippers, man? I just, if I say the name Norman Powell to you, you know, he's not going to be a guy like, he's not some all-star. He's certainly not some Hall of Fame caliber player, but it feels like whenever he's facing the Warriors, that guy can do no wrong. He was ripping shots last night. And, you know, obviously the three late in the game, and it just felt like he made a lot of little plays. Terrence Mann always plays well against the Niners. Yeah. He's a great matchup player. I thought they did a great job kind of running us off the three-point line. And, you know, Zubac, you know, the guy just, he makes a lot of plays, a lot of little winning plays, whether it's rebounding, getting the ball deep into the paint, laying it up, getting the ball deep into the paint, waiting for the double team, and then kicking it out to an open shooter. There's just something with the style of play and the personnel that the Clippers have. They give us fits currently.
0-2 against the Clippers, and look, they're a disciplined team. They added Jeff Van Gundy onto their bench. He gets on them about defense. Ty Lue's always been one of the better coaches. And James Harden's playing a nice little game right now. Even though he was 4-15 last night, he did drop the 16 assists. Norman Powell, you bring him up. And I bet you a lot of fans didn't even know this. But entering last night, Norman Powell was shooting 47% from three.
I didn't know that.
He is on a heater. In the first game against the Warriors, he scored 18 of his 20 in the second half. Had 16 in the third quarter, was just lighting it up. Last night, 5-6 from three. Again, he was shooting 47% entering last night's game. So, as a lot of people try to say, you know, we had discussion about Klay Thompson, whether or not the team is better off without Klay, CP3, and many others. Well, you look at the Clippers situation, and they're so much better without Paul George.
Huh.
Now, I know they're only 8-7 on the season, but Norman Powell's giving you solid production. The ball is moving for the L.A. Clippers. You bring up Zubac, who's being featured more in their offense and being featured more in the middle. Look, are the Clippers going to be a top six team? I have no idea. But they're a team that you just can't walk into the gym and say, oh, yeah, let's just roll the balls out. We're going to roll you. This is the second time they beat the Warriors on the back end of a back-to-back, Shasky.
Well, they also have some really long defenders that I just think they do a really good job matching up personnel-wise physically against what the Warriors want to do. And, you know, I'm looking at Amir Coffey here and Terrence Mann. I mean, these are long, versatile defensive guys that can also get out in space, can dribble a little, can knock down a shot when need be. I just think that they have a very unique kind of team that matches really well. And then there's something about the style of play. They're a little more plodding than some of the other teams that the Warriors have faced. And I don't love their style of play. Like, there's some about, like, is OKC a deeper top-to-bottom team? Absolutely. But there's something about the way OKC plays where I feel like it kind of plays into how the Warriors want to play. Conversely, when I watch them against the Clippers, it's like, it's just every possession feels drawn out.
Well, because the Clippers do a good job of paying attention to detail. They understand where the shooters are.
Yeah.
They know who to leave open out there. And they'll live with everybody else shooting. Now, Curry did get up to 21 FGAs, field goal attempts, and he did get up 15 three-point attempts, and he scored his 27-7 rebounds, 6 assists. But they're 23rd in pace of play. They average about 109 points a game. They only take about 34 threes a game. Last night, they took 34 threes. Now, usually they only make 12. Yesterday, they made 16. And they were red hot from three in the first half, including Nicholas Batum, who hit three threes in the first half. And you're like, what is going on here? Batum hit three threes in the previous six games combined. He hits three yesterday in the first half. So they do slow it down. They play a slow-down brand of basketball. They're not the deepest team in the league. Mo Bamba gave him 7 minutes. I thought he was solid, even though he's big and plotting. But Mo Bamba gave him some minutes yesterday. They do slow it down in both games. Whether it was the first one back on October 27th when the Warriors lost 112-104 to the Clippers in their home opener, they slowed the game down. They dictated pace. Last night, in the first half, the Warriors had only 38 field goal attempts. 38 field goal attempts. That's not Warriors basketball. They usually get up around 93, 94, 95. So, credit to the Clippers. They know how they play their brand of basketball. They dictated pace. And what the Warriors did, and Fitz had a great line. He had a great line. And this was like, this is 3 minutes into the game. It was 9-6 Clippers. And Fitz, as Steph Curry throws a one-handed pass and it gets stolen cross court, Fitz goes, oh, Steph knows better than that. If he's going to do that, we might as well warm up the bus and go home. Now, mind you, it was 9-6. It was 9-6, but it was kind of. He does live with those. He does. He does. Team dinners and everything. But 7 turnovers in the first quarter, and that kind of set the tone for the first half, and all of a sudden you're climbing uphill the rest of the game.
You know, the guy that I always look at when it comes to the turnovers, because he handles the ball so much and essentially is your offensive point guard, right? Forget defense, but it's Draymond Green. And when you have 6 turnovers and you're Draymond Green and you're initiating offense, like, that's unacceptable. And then you look at some of the careless live ball turnovers that turned into, you know, I believe they had 36 points on the 19 turnovers the Clippers did yesterday.
31.
Okay, I had 36 down. That's all right. But they've had 19 turnovers against the Clippers in this game, 21 in the last game. All right? There is something about the length of the Clippers, and they've done a great job running the Warriors off the three-point line and then forcing Draymond to be kind of a playmaker in the half court. And then when you're missing free throws, which I now want to get into the free throw thing, like, I think that it's difficult to execute against this team.
Well, before we get to the free throws, because they're dead last in free throw shooting, which is, I can't believe it. And they were 9-19 yesterday. Also situational basketball. You see them lose by 3 last night. And I think back to the final possession of the first half. Norman Powell gets a running start on J.K., gets an easy layup. J.K.'s got to do a better job there. Point blank, period. It's got to be a better defender at that. Mm-hmm. It's Steph Curry. You see him walking off the court, going into the halftime locker room, talking to J.K. Hey, whatever. And Mully's in the studio. He's like, hey, Norman Powell's going to go take a straight line drive, go hit a layup. And he does. Clippers go up 11 at the half. End of the third quarter. Tied up at 72. You're rolling.
They're battling.
Yeah, I mean, they held the Clippers at 16 points in the third quarter until Buddy Hield fouls Amir Coffey in the quarter for on a three-point shot. And Amir Coffey's off balance. His mechanics are all off. He's not going to hit that three. You don't really need to contest that shot. You did your job. Situational basketball. That's 5 points right there that you gave up. At the end of the 2 points at the end of the first half, another three there at the end of the third quarter. And as you know, Amir Coffey somehow, some way, is going 7 of 8 from the free throw line. So situational basketball, turnovers, and then the free throw shooting that's driving everybody crazy. 9 of 19. Actually, Andrew Wiggins went 6 of 8 yesterday.
No, Wiggins was good.
Wiggins was solid yesterday for the free throw line, but JK 1 of 4, Pods 1 of 3. TJD 0 for 2. So they're dead last in the league in terms of free throw shooting. It's pretty remarkable.
Well, It's unacceptable. And what's crazy to me on the free throw shooting, they're a good shooting team. At least I believe them to be a good shooting team. So I don't understand why they're a poor free throw shooting team when you have one of the greatest free throw shooters of all time.
Number 2 in 3-point percentage in the NBA. That's what I'm saying. 39%. They're behind the Cleveland Cavaliers, who's at 42%. Yet they're dead last.
So
dead last. Where are they at right now? 71% as a team.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
This is the lowest they've shot since 2000 as a team. The Golden State Warriors. I mean, that's kind of crazy. And I don't want to like pick on them, but Jonathan Kuminga is shooting 60% from the free throw line. If you're going to be a guy that's going to attack the hoop, you got to shoot free throws well. And I do believe at times when he misses a couple free throws, it takes away from some of his aggression of wanting to go downhill. Conversely, I thought that Andrew Wiggins played a great game yesterday. I know that people wanted to see him rebound a little more, and I would agree with that. I'd like to see him rebound a little more, especially on this team.
He's defending James Harden.
No, that's... You know?
Yeah.
I thought he had a great game.
Yeah,
he was
solid.
Andrew Wiggins was awesome. But no, I'm just saying, like, when people look at the box score, they're going to say, oh, he had a couple rebounds. They're going to need him to do more. No, I thought he did a really good job. And I thought for the most part they bottled up James Harden, but Harden does get deep into the paint and then the kickouts.
No doubt. He did a good job on Harden. Harden shot 4 of 15 from the floor yesterday. It was Norman Powell on identifying him late in the game. He hit two big threes down the stretch. It was 94-90.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter, bang, they go up 97-90. Then he hits another one where you think the game is over, and it's 102-92. But give the Warriors credit. They battled there to try to go on a 7-0 run and had a chance to tie the basketball game late. I would actually like to see Draymond Green on one of those situations there at the final possession. Square up and shoot it. Square up and shoot it. He'll shoot 45% from three. Draymond had a shot there, but he passed it. Obviously, you want to look for Steph. I get it. I'll probably do the same damn thing. But Lindy Waters III is right there. GP2. GP2 doesn't know Lindy Waters is right there. So he's going to take the ball. And you know what? No hesitation. It looked online. Hits the back rim. But you know what? As Steve would say, as Draymond would say, as Steph would say, he probably didn't deserve to win that game.
No, I didn't think he did. Though I was hoping that you'd steal it.
Trust me, I wanted overtime. Although, I was looking at the clock there, 7:30 tip time. I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah, what was the late?
LA Clippers are the only team to do 7:30 starts. Yeah. Do the Lakers do 7:30 too? So it's an LA thing. Late arrivals, traffic, okay. You know, got to get to the Intuit Dome.
The
it's going to be tough.
Dome.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Lindy Waters, you bring him up. I need him to feel like he is empowered to shoot more. Because I think for him to stay on the floor, obviously his number one skill set is shooting, and I'd like to just see him take more shots. That's just in general. I think he has an opportunity to eat into some of Pods' minutes at some point in the next couple of weeks. If Pods continues to slide the way he is, I think Moody, I think obviously Lindy Waters, like they're looking for someone to be another playmaker off that bench. And I don't love Lindy Waters' ball handling in comparison to Pods, but right now they have a Pods problem. He's shooting, what is he shooting from three? 19, 18%? What's he shooting?
Yeah, it's not. It's well, not
I know you right know now. The numbers.
Yeah, it was. I'm pulling up right here.
It's
I saw 18% at one point. Right now, he's at 19% from three.
It's the defense. It's the dribbling way too much. It's going into the lane, picking up your dribble, pivoting to no man's land. Like, I'm not saying he's the number one problem on the team, but they do have an issue right now with Pajemski. I was expecting, hoping, a big leap forward. They hyped him up. You know, this is why they didn't want to trade him.
Like, he's pressing. There's no doubt, Shasky. He's pressing.
It doesn't look good. Yeah. And I'm very worried about where Pajemski's at, because if they want to go on a run this year and sustain this great start, which we all agree, this is a great start for the Warriors. Like, they need a backup point guard. And I thought Pajemski was going to be that guy. And now, I'm not saying that I'm off that train. I'm just saying I'm a little concerned.
13 games in, he had to mass start the season. Mass was obviously bothering him. But when I look at the threes, 1, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, he's made 9 threes this season. 9 threes. And when you look at the attempts, 9, 14, 22, 29, 32, 33, 39, 40, 41, 45, 47. He's not at 47 from three. So,
wow.
He's got, and last year, you know, you always believe the law of averages will come back around. He usually does in baseball, usually does in basketball. Last year, he shot 38.5% from three, and he took 3 attempts a game. Now, he's taking one more attempt this season, but he's making less. So, the three-point shot, obviously, defensively, he's going to be in the right spot. He's going to take a lot of charges. We know that. But also, some of the ball handling, when he's ball handling deep into the paint, point guards are just sitting on him. They're like looking to take the ball away from him. So, teams are getting physical with him. They're identifying him. And look, he's on a scout report now, because when you hear in the summer, Joe Lacob saying, hey, man, we believe we got a future all-star. And he makes all-rookie first team. And he's on the USA select team. Other guys are going to go at him. So he's making an adjustment here. The whole thing about sophomore slump, maybe he's going through that right now. Maybe. We're 13 games in. But he is getting less and less minutes with the way he's playing right now. Last night he only played
how many?
15 minutes and 37 seconds.
That's it?
15 minutes and 37 seconds. He averages 25 minutes a game.
Wow.
Last night, just 15 minutes and 37 seconds, and that's without DeAnthony Melton.
It does feel like his offensive woes are, I'm not saying that they're crushing his overall floor game, but like all of the intangible stuff is great, diving on the floor and hustling and getting all that stuff. But right now, he's not staying in front of anyone either defensively. I think that's also an issue. Right. And so you compound that with
the mass bothered him a lot.
Well, okay. Well, he's saying he had vertigo, or no, excuse me. He's not. They're not saying that he had vertigo, but he had some sort of illness. Mm-hmm. And I'm just asking, like, what is the? Is he okay? Is the guy like okay?
He's fine. He'll get going. This is weird.
He missed like a game and a half with it.
Okay. I mean, Klay Thompson. As much as we love Klay Thompson, used to have horrific starts to a season.
Yeah, that's Klay Thompson. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. But he used to have. I'm just using an example. Guys sometimes come out of the gate slow. It's a sophomore season. I think he'll be fine. He'll be fine. Now, he's got to get rolling here over the next few days and few weeks here, because we don't know about DeAnthony Melton and the spring left ACL.
Just going to go there.
Missing DeAnthony Melton last night. They missed him, and quietly they missed Kevon Looney. Kevon Looney is one of the best offensive rebounders in all of basketball. And getting the body on Zubac there and being in the paint, knowing where to be and knowing how to finish around the basket, TJD battled, but you only see 3 rebounds from TJD. Yeah. And Zubac was having his way with TJD at times. They missed Kevon Looney last night. There's no doubt about that. They may have missed him more than DeAnthony Melton.
Yeah, well, the DeAnthony Melton, I'm very worried about the sprained ACL. Yeah. Obviously, you have the back, the ACL. Like, this is a guy that you're desperately going to need. And we've almost been, it's like we've been teased as to what he could do alongside Steph Curry. And now that you get a little taste of it, you're like, oh my God, this is the perfect kind of a player to be your starting shooting guard and hopefully close a lot of games, play alongside Steph. That gives you that other ball handler that we're alluding to when we're talking about Brandon Pajemski. And so I think his absence is definitely felt. And then Kevon Looney, like B, there's no doubt about it. Zubac takes their lunch money. And it's not necessarily about just scoring. He does so many little Little thinks he's active. He's a load to box out, and so you got to take two guys to clear him out, which opens it up for somebody else to get rebounds. He's a willing passer. I think he's nasty. He clogs the lane defensively. Zubac is a problem against the Warriors. He has had really good games every time he's faced them, and I just look at the Clippers bench scoring as a whole. They're one of the few teams that can match the firepower the Warriors have off the bench.
Well, the Warriors had a season low 28 points off the bench. A season low 28 points off the bench last night. They averaged nearly 60 a game. And one thing the Clippers do well is Zubac, he had 17 rebounds last night. They limit teams from grabbing offensive rebounds. You're usually one and done against the Clippers on the offensive end. Last night, the Warriors only 9 offensive rebounds. They averaged 14 on a season a game. 14 rebounds, offensive rebounds per game for the Golden State Warriors. That's second in the league. And no Kevon Looney, he's one of the best offensive rebounders in the league. So, look, this was a Clippers game. It was their pace. They played at their pace, their speed. And they turned the ball over. They turned the Warriors over. Now, they ended up turning it over 20 times because that's what the Clippers do. But the Warriors didn't take advantage of that. It's a tough loss yesterday. Tough loss. And now you're 0-2 against the Clippers. You get to bounce back against Atlanta tomorrow. And you need to. You got to continue to stack wins here as the Warriors are 10-3. And you're a little worried about De'Anthony Melton and Loon. Now, Loon should be ready to go Wednesday as he was out with the illness. But with Pod struggling from three, we don't know about Moses Moody's minutes. Where's Kuminga at? I think Kuminga's been solid off the bench, actually. Kuminga has been averaging over 17 a game since he shifted to the bench.
It's the free throws. To me, it's the free throws. I think once some free throws start falling for him, I believe that he'll start attacking better. He had a really nice three, I thought, in transition yesterday. Smooth.
But yesterday, the turnover bug hit him.
I know.
Turnover bug hit him. All right. More coming up here on the Warriors, 888-957-9570. Are you panicking over free throw shooting? Too early to panic. I get it. But free throws. Warriors are dead last. Dead last at free throw shooting. What's going on with that? Shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Good guest list coming up. We'll reveal that on the other side. And that'll be brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It's your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and much, much more. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Locations, coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. BayAreaOilChange.com.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Josh Askey on 95.7 The Game. Take it away, Bonte.
All right, JK, 12 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds last night, 5 of 12 in just 19 minutes. I was shocked. Look, I didn't have too big of an issue with Steve Kerr's rotations yesterday. At times, started fourth quarter, I thought, who do you have? Buddy Hill, JK, Pods, Slow-Mo, I think Moody. They're struggling to get some buckets, but towards the tail end of the game, my phones just started getting blasted. Where the hell is JK? Where the hell is JK? Why are you playing JK? And I just thought, I was like, I wasn't really pressed on that last night.
I don't know. This may have nothing to do with it, something. I don't know. I just felt like the way they closed out the game against Memphis kind of carried over into this one. The malaise, that's all I mean. Like the malaise where I didn't love the finish to the Grizzly game for a variety of reasons. Obviously, there's the Draymond element and everything that happens there. And I got, what did it get, upgraded to a flagrant?
Mm-hmm.
For those that didn't know.
Flagrant one.
Him and Zach Edey, he grabbed him. I don't even know what he was like. It was just so unnecessary. But like it just felt like it kind of carried over into this game. And they kind of sleptwalked through it, and it was frustrating because I thought that Friday night was a good win, and the way it ended kind of left a little sour taste in my mouth. Now, I'm not mad about any win. Trust me, you got to keep stacking them, but like that game was in the bag, and even the coach, Steve Kerr, was really animated in the post game about that closeout.
It was a clunky game.
45
free throw shot. 45 free throw shot in the second half alone. It was a long game. I felt tired watching it. It was nasty. And then the Memphis Grizzlies covered a spread for all the gamblers out there. Warriors are 7-point favorites.
I didn't know that.
And they hit a layup. They hit two layups in the last 30 seconds, and they lost by 5.
JJJ, though, is I love him. I want him on the Warriors. I mean, I know a lot of people don't like his game. I think he's like the perfect Warrior.
Yeah, you thought he was on the block for some reason.
Well, Well, I'm just, you know, yeah, never
Memphis
know.
Memphis is building a rod of her to say, hey, go get JJJ.
Where is Ja?
But you know what?
And the coach, too. Bonte, before you go.
Oh, no, Taylor Jenkins breaking the code.
I mean, this guy is such a
back.
Clown.
Memphis is back. They're back.
So explain to people what happened.
Well, the Zach Edey play. You know, Draymond Green, I don't know if he grabbed his ankle. Edey was gamesmanship. The game within the game. Whatever. It was malicious.
Within the game.
The game within the game.
Bonte, that's what I call, that's the old man what for. Like, yeah. you know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. All right? And Taylor Jenkins was not happy after the game. So he said, you know, they broke the code, blah, blah, blah.
The code? Listen, what code see, is he talking
Draymond,
about?
Draymond, I think he reposted it on Instagram, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. I don't follow.
It's like, he just kind of laughed at him. But anyway, Draymond, I thought Steve Kerr and Draymond did a great job after the game because Steve Kerr was hot. He was hot at the end of the game because it was a mess. How many guys were dropping on the ground, dropping on the floor?
That's Memphis.
It was just it was a nasty. Especially coming off of what happened Tuesday night with Klay Thompson returning to Dallas Mavericks and the way the intensity of that game.
Beautiful.
And then you get to Friday night. Mully and I are sitting there at the gatehouse. We're like, is it just us or is this tough to watch?
No, it was harder to watch than the Tyson-Jake Paul fight.
Right.
Which was hard to watch for people of our age to watch Mike Tyson essentially lay down against Jake Paul.
Well, he had a knee brace on. He's 58 years old. What did we expect? The guy,
he
just had a health scare 4 months ago when they had to postpone the fight.
But
Jake Paul knows what he's doing. He's a money grab for him. He knows exactly what he's doing.
I watched.
You know, we all watched.
Hey, the woman fight before
Katie
was
Taylor.
A freaking amazing fight.
Serrano and Katie Taylor.
Freaking amazing.
That was a good fight. So the Warriors lose last night. Their 3-game winning streak was snapped at the hands of the LA Clippers. Two of their three losses have come at the hands of the LA Clippers.
I have a pretty, very straightforward question to you. What is the common denominator in all three of their losses? Or is there not one?
Well, Cleveland just rolled them. Cleveland's the best team in the league right now, 15-0. They play Boston tonight in Boston, 4 o'clock. You may want to watch that game.
Today at 4?
Yeah, Emirates NBA Cup game, too.
I'll be going to the dentist, but I'll definitely have that on the phone.
Well, you always got something going on, man. You're like the busiest guy in San Francisco. He really is. But the Clippers just, the two games against the Cleveland Cavaliers just kicked their ass.
They came out 20-2.
And it felt like, all right, that's an exception. They go 4-1 on the road trip. You'll see Cleveland Cavaliers again. They're good, though. They're a good, good team. They're going to have something to say in the Eastern Conference. The Clippers just, the common denominator is Clippers' pace. Their pace. They dictated the terms. And I believe the Warrior turnovers, the first game off the top of my dome, they had like over 20 turnovers in that first game.
In the first game against the Clippers, they had 21 turnovers. They had 19.
40 turnovers against the Clippers in two games. And he shot 57% for the free throw line in those combined two games. There's your game. You lose 112-104. Now, remember the first game, Steph Curry tweaked his ankle, came back into the game, and left the game in the fourth quarter. In the last 8 minutes, they went without Draymond Green in that game. So Kerr rolled with Looney. He rolled with Pods. And they almost stole that game. They almost stole it. But it was too much. Norman Powell went crazy in the second half. 18 of his 20. Again, last night, you look at the field goal attempts for the Warriors. They're down 12 field goal attempts, all right? Let me make sure I get this right. Field goal attempts. The Warriors average 90. Well, now they average. Yeah, they averaged 93 field goal attempts going into last night. Last night, they were down to 84.
Mm.
So 9 less field goal attempts. Why? Because you don't take care of the basketball.
No,
you don't take care of the basketball. You turn the ball over 13 times, and then all of a sudden you're playing uphill, and now you don't have your guys in D'Anthony Melton and Kevon Looney. So give the Clippers credit. They pay attention to details. They know how to defend. They throw Derrick Jones Jr. on Stephen Curry to try to make things difficult. James Harden is out there facilitating. And they haven't had an answer for Norman Powell. They have not had an answer for Norman Powell in both these games. So 5-6 from 3 yesterday for Norman Powell. And that's basically your game. And then 9-19 from the free throw line. Again, turnovers and free throws. Not a good thing here. But you know what? We got some sound to play. We got a new element here. Kind of like taking them to school. Let me read it. We don't have the voice, right? No voice? All right. Had to make sure.
You're the voice.
Oh, I'm the voice.
The voice of God.
Hi, this is Jesus. And I want to tell
you're listening to 95.7 The Game.
I don't.
Bonte and Shasky.
Are you serious?
On the Morning Roast.
And I want to let you know that This is the Warriors Future Focus, presented by Peralta Community College District with Laney, Berkeley City, Merritt, and the College of Alameda, focusing on the night. Trayce Jackson-Davis, 8 points, 3 rebounds, as well as this steal and dunk in the first quarter.
Coffee spin, dribble right hand, bounce pass to left, stolen by Jackson-Davis. It's a foot race. The big guy goes up and slams it down with the left hand. A little elevation sensation for TJD, and the Warriors trail by 5.
TJD, the Warriors' future focus, just like we love the future of the Dubs. Peralta Community College District encourages you to love your future, too. Go to peralta.edu and apply today. TJD, 3 rebounds last night, 8 points. And Steve Kerr went with some of the veterans there. Buddy Hill played 23 minutes. But the Clippers, man, they pay attention to details. They are all over the shooters. They're trying to run you off the three-point line, especially in that first half where they limited the Warriors to just 21 three-point attempts. They did a great job last night, so they dictated pace. And look, are we doom and gloom? I don't think anybody. 888-957-9570, you know, 650 on the Comcast Business text line is saying that, hey, would you choose GP2 to take your last shot from three off balance, no time on the clock? Well, who else is going to shoot it? Do you want him to just hold the ball and let it go off like a grenade? What are we doing here? He's wide open. You're playing for defense. Hell, he got you the possession.
I want Iguodala.
He came up with the big steal to get you the possession, the game possession, to have a chance to tie and send the game to overtime. So, and no problem with GP2 shooting the ball. Stephen Curry made the right play.
Yeah.
Now, Steve Kerr, according to Sam Gordon at the San Francisco Chronicle, was saying that Steve Kerr was trying to get a timeout there in the final possession, but the referee's already down on the other end. It's loud in an Intuit Dome. Fans are going crazy. They're pumping in fake noise. And look, let's
be real.
They're
pumping in fake noise?
Probably. All these arenas do, except for Chase Center. But listen, I got to say, too, it doesn't surprise me.
I love you.
It doesn't surprise me that
everyone does except Chase.
But it doesn't surprise me that they will blow that because Mark Davis was the crew chief. And Mark Davis is one of the worst officials I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it's unbelievable. So it is what it is. You got your third loss of the season, two at the hands of the Clippers.
We should start. Can you do this, Sam? You keep note of all the things that we're tracking here on the show. You know, we've got the Doobie Awards, and we've got YouTube numbers and banners and colors. Ref talk. We talk more about that. I'm not blaming you. You're right. Yeah. I want to know how much we talk about the referees this year.
Right.
Because I swear to God, they've been involved in every game to a negative degree. We talk way too much about them. Am I wrong? Memphis game, you cannot talk about the Memphis game the next day without discussing the officials' impact.
They were terrible.
Am I wrong?
They were wrong. It was a bad product. It was a bad product. Everybody, Steve Kerr, Draymond Green, kept their mouth shut because they were going to get fined. They were irate.
Okay, make sure you don't miss that break, bro.
All right, I won't miss the break. I get it. The last shot was for Lindy Waters III, but GP2 didn't know that Lindy Waters, it's a scramble situation. He doesn't know where he's at right now. You can't risk that ball getting past you and getting to Lindy Waters III. GP2 made the right play. Steph made the right play. But it shouldn't have come down to that last play. Shouldn't have come down. You turn the ball over, situational basketball, end of the first half, you give up a layup to Norman Powell, straight line drive, boom, blows by Kuminga, and then, of course, the three-point shot by Amir Coffey at the end of the third quarter where you foul him, situational basketball. Warriors were lucky to even be in that position to tie the basketball game, so it is what it is. There's no panic, there's no doom and gloom, but 888-957-9570 is the number in case you want to get in on some Warriors talk. Tough loss last night in L.A. Tough loss. They'll be back home Wednesday. And they'll do their thing against the Atlanta Hawks. By the way, Baldy's going to join us at 7:30. Dalton Johnson will join us at 9:20. All courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? All right, we're going to get to some Niners at some point here. Get Shasky's thoughts on Sunday. Well, we had a show yesterday. How many people want Shanahan replaced? Oh, my God. I thought I was taking crazy pills. Thought I lost 1,500 brain cells last night leaving the show. It was unbelievable. We'll get into that coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
Bay Area is Draymond Green. The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky is live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Time for you to like and subscribe. We'll be right back.
We'll get to the Niners in just a second as this segment is sponsored by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Don't forget Brian Baldinger at 7:30, Dalton Johnson, NBC Sports Bay Area, 9:20, who was down at the Intuit Dome last night, and all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And before we move on to the 49ers, just watching the last possession over on my computer, 14 seconds left. Draymond on the wing. Could have pulled the trigger there on a three-point shot. Zubac was running out. Kind of gave him a three, conceded a three-point look. But I get it, 14 seconds left. That may have been the best opportunity. Then that last play, you could see Stephen Curry. We saw it on the postgame show. I don't know why we didn't bring it up. But he was obviously pointing. You don't want to demean GP2 because it was a good shot. What are you going to do? And GP2 probably didn't know that Lindy Waters III was right behind him. Plus, you're playing the clock. It happens. Steph kind of pointed at Lindy Waters III. That was intended for you, but it is what it is. They lose a tough one to the L.A. Clippers, a game that really they were lucky to be in because of the 19 turnovers and the lack of free throw shooting. But the whole new Intuit Dome. Right next to SoFi Stadium. And I was thinking, they had a Chargers-Bengals game going on the same time as the Utah Jazz and Clippers game. So probably a lot of traffic down there or whatnot. But the Intuit Dome, very colorful. You see all the hoops there. You get power. You get power chargers for every seat. You could just put your extension cord in there, charge your phone up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but you really like it, huh?
I kind of, all the bathrooms in the world, because I know you love to go to the bathroom every 5 minutes. You're like three times the bathrooms as enough as the average NBA arena.
Well, so look, I went to the Niner game with the little guy on Sunday, and, you know, nothing is worse than having to get up when you're at a game. Hey, excuse me, I'm sorry, my bad, I'm so sorry. As you're as I call it, tight walking down the aisle. And you're trying to cram as many seats into a stadium as possible. I understand that. But there is something to having a little more leg room in your aisle so that you can actually put food down on the ground and be able to walk by and not feel like, you know, you're going to fall over into the row below you. It's a tough one. Here's what I like about the Intuit Dome. A, the exterior looks really cool, and with that glass, that see-through, it very reminiscent of SoFi, and when they light it up blue and red, you know, with the red tint or whatever, and then the blue, it looks really cool.
Yep.
Number two, the wall, which is the behind one of the backboards on the baseline, if you will. It's straight up as far as you can go with no suites, and you saw, I think it was Andrew Wiggins a couple times, they did some back views of all the fans kind of going crazy, and I guess in soccer, they have the same thing in Germany or whatever.
Dortmund.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, they have the wall, and that's where the Netherlands were playing. Who were they playing? Were they playing England? And they had the orange wall, just all orange. It looked crazy. Sick.
I love the idea. Like that, to me, the idea of that, of like leaning into your fans, making someone miss at the expense of squeezing an extra suite in, right? Like I think Ballmer, when I watched the different videos of him like breaking it down, he really cared about the fan experience, and I think that matters. And I look at some of the best stadiums that hit. Having great tech is awesome. Like the Halo, which is what the Warriors have, which is like a Jumbotron that wraps around. SoFi has it as well. And it's double-sided so that the players can see on the inside and you can see
that's
it.
That's what the Intuit Dome has.
What is it, a Jumbotron? I don't even know what it was called.
They call it Jumbotron.
But I know it's determined a Halo. Those are really cool.
Yep.
But am I making or breaking my viewing experience at a stadium because it has or hasn't a Halo? Not really. Can I get in and out? Is it a hassle? Right? I'm just being real. For the most fans, is it a hassle to get in and out? Does it take an entire quarter to get food? You know, does it take an entire quarter to stand in a bathroom line? Like, those are things that matter. And so it's tough for me to know without going there what it's like. But it looks cool.
You know, the high school jerseys, somebody pointing out the wall of high school jerseys. Every jersey in California. I know at the Mercedes-Benz Dome, they have every helmet of the Georgia high school football team.
That's cool.
So I like that aspect of the high school jerseys there on the wall at Intuit Dome.
That's cool.
Also, you know, the power charge. But then the wall, going back to the wall here, no opposing fans can sit in the wall. Can't wear another jersey in the wall.
And
if you want to resell those tickets, you have to do it within the Clippers community.
Huh.
So they've really done a good job of making sure that opposing fans don't infiltrate the wall there. And they've done a good job with that arena. And for the Clippers, they had their own building finally. Because they've been considered a JV team in L.A. for many, many years.
Absolutely.
Sharing Crypto.com Arena. Remember Doc Rivers? We're going to cover the banners. Forget them. This is a Clippers Arena. We're going to cover their banners or whatnot. And they played at the old L.A. Sports Arena, which is a complete dump, which is on the campus of USC. Having their own stadium. Doing their own thing. Whether you like their logos or not, this is good for the Clippers. They're separate from the Lakers now. It's like we're doing our thing over here. You can have Crypto.com Arena. We got the Intuit Dome. We have our home court advantage. Yeah. It's Clipper Nation over here. So good for them. Good for Steve Ballmer for flipping that franchise.
I think this is my new setting when it comes to stadiums and stuff. Like, this is the way I view it. The home experience of watching a game is so convenient,
yep,
right, for everyone out there. If you're going to pay hundreds of dollars for cable or YouTube TV or whatever streaming service that you're watching a game on, and you're going to have the luxury of being able to just pause the game, go to the bathroom, come back, that's what you're competing with in terms of in-game entertainment. And Joe Lacob's talked about this, yep, and Steve Ballmer I've seen talk about this. I have to make the in-game experience so over the top, above and beyond amazing to compete not with other, you know, go-to-game experiences, with the at-home experience. Yeah. And so, like, I'm just using my own, you know, from Sunday going to the Niner game. Like, it should not take me a whole quarter to get my kids some food. I've spent a lot of money to go to the game. I spent a lot of money to park. I've taken a lot of time to get down there. And so, like, having concession stands that take 20 minutes to get food, it's unacceptable in the modern age. And so I think that when I look at Intuit Dome, Chase Center and stuff, like, every game I go to with Chase, there are so many food options. Are you going to wait for a couple, yep, minutes? For sure, because you're going to do that anywhere. But it's not 20-minute lines. It's also 20,000 as opposed to 70,000,
right,
which is a football game.
So that's a big difference there. But I think Intuit Dome, you could buy your food on the app. You download an app, and you do everything on the app, and everything is cashless.
I didn't even know that.
You walk in, you scan something, yeah, you grab and go. Now, Levi's does, for season ticket holders have a Blitz and Go. And so what Anna and I do, they have it right behind our section, 227. Walk down the stairs, go to 227, and it's a Blitz and Go. And they have nachos, hot dog, pretzel, water.
Is that the all-you-can-eat for the season ticket package?
Season ticket holder.
Yeah, because I have that, too.
So you scan it, yeah, you go in, and that takes 5 minutes.
Huh.
And for a stadium, look, when I'm going to a football game, my setting nowadays is I'm not looking for a 5-star meal.
Well, that's not what I'm saying.
I'm looking for a snack. So that Blitz and Go is actually clutch, and we discovered it 2 seasons ago. We're like, yo, this is our go-to.
Wow.
We're coming here to a football game. Just get something quick and easy, a hot dog, some waters so we can hydrate, some quick chips and some cheese dip, and call it a day.
Yeah.
And you get a pretzel as well, a little snack. So that's been very convenient.
I'm gonna have to try that.
But
I didn't even know about
that. But Levi's, for 10 years in, getting in and out, it's definitely a problem because what I do now, it's fascinating. And you can call me a fair weather fan all you want to. I wasn't in Levi's by the time Geno Smith ran for that touchdown. With a daughter and trying to get out,
yeah,
I would rather leave early, watch the rest of the game on my phone.
I get that.
To not sit in the parking lot for an hour.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense.
I took my mom, gave her my seats, and then Michelle and I got another set of seats in the end zone, and I brought the little guy. And so my mom and her friend were there, so I was kind of their designated driver home, and we ended up staying the whole time. The little guy was having a tough time. You know, it's a long day.
Struggling.
1-year-old.
Oh,
it's,
yeah,
a long,
absolutely,
day. And the stadium was dead flat.
Oh, it was
at
flat.
Times.
It was flat.
And that was the byproduct of the team playing poorly. I love going to games. There's just something about being at the game and
football
feeling
games.
It and all that stuff. But again, I go back to your point about ingress, egress, and the experience has got to be over the top to compete with not other game experiences.
The at-home experience.
The at-home experience.
Trust me. And it was like, oh, I really want to go to this game. And I wasn't really pushing it because I knew Kansas City of Buffalo was playing. So I would have had no problem having a quad box
Buffalo.
Up.